Today in review, Print Speaking to the Blind, celebrating 40 years of audio newspaper production. Welcome to this week's edition of the Kirkintilloch Herald podcast, recorded at the Bishopriggs Media Centre by our amazing volunteers. You can get in touch with us via Facebook, Twitter or Instagram using @QNReview. That is @CUEANDREVIEW. You can also contact us directly by emailing information@QNReview.com. That is information@CUEANDREVIEW.com. Or by calling 0141 772 3976. That's 0141 772 3976.
This podcast, date Wednesday the 20th of December 2023, is read to you by volunteers Corey, Hunter and Ian, and we all wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year when it comes. Earmarked for closure. Bishopriggs Police Station could be set to close amidst what has been widely described as a national cost-cutting exercise. Police Scotland announced last week that it was to consult the public over the future of 29 buildings in its estate, calling them surplus to requirement. Making the announcement, Deputy Chief Constable Malcolm Graham said the estate needed to be fit for 21st century policing, adding that the police's presence in communities was not defined by buildings, but by the officers and staff who work there. Elsewhere in East Dumbartonshire, Mulgay Police Station is also earmarked for closure. Over the proposals, Strathkelvin and Bearsdale MSP, Rona Mackay, said, "This is an operational decision by Police Scotland as part of their estate aid strategy across the country. They are looking at the issues of properties in order for them to develop modern premises, capable of delivering effective and efficient services to meet the needs of the public and the staff." Trade Union Unison described the plans as a measure that will make policing more remote and less accessible. David Malcolm, Branch Secretary, said, "No one seriously thinks this is about improving services. It is a cost-cutting measure. It might deliver balanced books, but it won't deliver better policing. These measures themselves will shape the demand from the public and put pressure on already stretched resources in the police contact centre and control rooms as more communities are to see their police offices taken away. We agree with Police Scotland that the police estate is in a mess, but the way to sort that out is to make the case for long-term investment, not short-term asset stripping." Scottish Liberal Dems Justice spokesman Liam MacArthur said the closures would be yet another blow to community policing, adding that it would be utterly naive to pretend that the budget decisions made by SNP ministers have not played a significant part in leading the service down this road. Meanwhile, a campaign has been launched by the General Secretary of ALBA Party, Chris McElhinney, opposing the disproportionate closures in Glasgow and the West. He believes the massive reduction in stations in the West would lead to reduced policing here and risks officers being unable to respond to crime, resulting in communities being less safe. And that article was read to you today by me, Ian. This week in history. December the 21st, 1879. The first performance took place of Ibsen's A Doll's House at the Royal Theatre, Copenhagen. On this day last year, Elon Musk confirmed he would step down as chief executive of Twitter as soon as he found someone foolish enough to take the job. December the 22nd, 1715. James Stewart landed at Peterhead to lead a Jacobite rebellion. It failed. On this day last year, FIFA announced it was investigating how a number of unauthorised people gatecrashed Argentina's World Cup celebrations. December the 23rd, 1981, Jeffrey Boycott took his score to 86 not out against India at Delhi to become the then most prolific run scoring batsman in Test history. On this day last year, the Princess of Wales dedicated a Christmas carol service to the late Queen, paying tribute to her incredible legacy which deeply inspired many of us. December 24th, 1904, the London Coliseum opened in St Martin's Lane with the first revolving stage in Britain. September the 25th, 1932, King George V made the first royal Christmas broadcast to the Empire. On this day last year, the King celebrated Christmas alongside his family at Sandringham for the first time since the Queen died. Positive inspection. A high school in Bishop Briggs has received positive ratings across the board in its latest inspection. Education Scotland evaluated Turnbull High School as very good in all categories in its most recent report. The denominational school has a roll of 650 pupils. Inspectors noted that although recent attendance figures were lower than the Scottish average, so were the number of exclusions. Around 1 in 10 pupils qualify for free school meals, with 15% living in deprived areas, and 42% of pupils have additional support needs. In the Leadership of Change category, a recent refresh of the school's vision was welcomed by inspectors, who said that the faith-based ethos and Catholic identity were clearly reflected. Eileen Kennedy has been head teacher of the school for a decade and was described as providing highly effective and very caring leadership, which is very well respected across the school community. The deputy heads and leadership teams within the school were similarly praised for their work, with recent accomplishments including recognition as a digital school and winning awards for sustainability and their work with STEM subjects. Plans for future progress in this school were also highlighted as clear and appropriate, with many initiatives in progress to deliver a range of benefits, for example the recent Culture Day event, the various ways pupils are encouraged to develop their STEM skills, STEM, STEM, Science, Technology, Engineering and Mathematics, and the enthusiastic involvement of pupils as How Good Is Our School ambassadors. The motivation of pupils to learn was described as high, and inspectors believe they enjoyed good relationships with staff who offer varied and well-organised lessons while also understanding the needs of pupils. Increasing use of digital technology was welcomed as pupils enjoyed such things as online quizzes. Various aspects of assessment were also viewed positively, and the school was said to have very robust systems in place to track achievements. Members of the senior management team visit each department to measure performance against national standards, while conferences involving young people also promote good practice.
Parents involved as recorded by Hunter MacDonald. Inspectors found almost all pupils at Turnbull achieve third curriculum for excellence by the end of S3 when they begin to specialise in 9 subjects. Parents said they appreciated receiving regular and helpful feedback on the progress of their children, and staff provide effective communication through the monthly Turnbull Times and social media. Most said their children enjoyed being at the school and were treated fairly and respectfully. Pupils also said they felt they had people to talk to if they were upset, and inspectors also noticed the importance of contributions from partner organisations such as the police, who provide regular presentations on internet safety. The levels of attainment were repeatedly described as very strong, especially SCQF levels 5 and 6, where it was said to be exceptional. Tax change is good for the area. Eastern Berkshire Council will now have the power to charge up to double the rate of council tax on second and holiday homes. And that's a move Scottish Green MSP Ross Greer says will raise vital funds for local schools and other services. The new rules can be applied to homes not used as a primary residence, generating extra tax revenue to help support local public services, helping to meet local housing needs by discouraging holiday home ownership and freeing up homes for those who need them to live in. Mr. Greer said too many people are unable to buy their own home in the community they've grown up in, whilst many properties in those same areas sit empty for most of the year. I'm proud that with Scottish Greens in government, we've been able to introduce another important tool for tackling housing shortages in communities. We should all be able to access good quality and affordable homes. In East Dumbartonshire, there are people being priced out of their own communities while others are stuck on waiting lists. With bold steps like this, we will shift the balance away from second home ownership and free up more homes for those who really need them. It will also raise vital funds for local services like schools and social care that people across our community rely on. This action on second homes comes on top of Green Minister's work to cap private rents and protect tenants from eviction over the last year.
Tributes paid to former leader. Tributes have been paid to former leader of East Dumbartonshire Council, Keith Moody, following his recent passing at the age of 89. Keith was a founder member of the East Dumbartonshire Liberal Democrats. He was the leader of the Lib Dem group in the first two terms of East Dumbartonshire Council, firstly as opposition leader and then as council leader. His career in local politics started before the creation of East Dumbartonshire, when he was elected in 1986 to represent the Mulgay / Kilmardinny area on Strathclyde Regional Council. Keith was the father of Vaughan Moody, who has been a councillor in Bearsden for over 25 years and who is the current leader of the Liberal Democrat group on East Dumbartonshire Council. Vaughan said, "It was my dad who inspired me to enter local politics and he was a great role model. From the many touching messages I have received since his passing, it is clear that he also inspired many others to get involved in local issues." Meanwhile, convener of East Dumbartonshire Liberal Democrats, former Lindsay councillor, Rod Ackland, said, "I think it is fair to say, along with Jim Bannerman, Keith laid the foundations on which the local Liberal Democrats have been building ever since. He will be greatly missed." Keith's life was celebrated as he was laid to rest at Clydebank Crematorium last week.
Charity is given recognition. An East Dumbartonshire charity has helped struggling residents clear an incredible £1 million in debt since it opened. And now, Kirkintilloch-based Christians Against Poverty, CAP, has been commended at the Scottish Parliament for its dedication in helping local people in dire financial straits since being founded back in 2012. Rona Mackay, MSP, who put forward a parliamentary motion, said, "What an incredible milestone to reach. CAP Centre Manager Ross Hutchinson and his dedicated and compassionate team have helped transform the lives of hundreds of people throughout my constituency. They make a huge contribution to the local community and cannot be praised enough."
Opponents are warned. Ahead of a full meeting of East Dumbartonshire Council, the leader has warned other councillors not to spread misinformation with regard to the organisation's capital projects. SNP councillor Gordon Lowe spoke out soon after the papers for Thursday's meeting were made public. He said, "Even before these papers were published, some of our political opponents were making misleading statements about what our plans might be. This sort of misinformation and misrepresentation is not helpful to our communities or to democracy. I say to our opponents, question and oppose our plans if you wish. That is democracy, but at least wait until you hear what they are. Assertion and assumption are no substitute for reading and listening, and I urge opposition councillors to stop making statements that have no basis in fact whatsoever. We would urge local residents, when misinformation is spread about projects being cancelled or delayed, don't just believe what you hear. Please read the council documents where context is given and plans are fully laid out. Councillors will discuss a range of issues, including budget problems affecting efforts to replace school buildings and the possible introduction of charging for garden waste collection beginning in July. Officers have recommended stalling some school replacement projects until after the council budget is set in February. Councillor Vaughan Moody, leader of the Liberal Democrat group, said, "The council currently faces a deficit of £20 million out of £320 million spending. I agree that the council report should be read. I'm sure the parents and pupils of Bearsden, Mulgay and Westerton Primary will be more than disappointed. I am sure people will be upset at the prospect of charging for green bins and the ending of the Care of Gardens scheme. The SNP run council should place the blame where it lies with the Scottish Government led by Humza Yousaf. The meeting will begin at 5:30pm on Thursday and can be viewed live on the council's YouTube channel." Provost's Christmas Best Wishes by Provost Gillian Rennick. Christmas Message. This is my first full year serving as Provost, and it has been a whirlwind 12 months during which I have attended many wonderful events in our towns and villages. This summer I launched the Provost's Community Champion Awards and got to meet the exceptional people working hard to make their communities stronger, cleaner, more cultured and more tolerant. The champions were nominated by teachers, friends, neighbours and family, much to their surprise, for service to the community that they do without thinking or asking for anything in return. They were all truly inspiring and each had a touching story of how they came to be involved in the service and support that they provide. All year round, in every corner of East Dunbartonshire, there are people making a difference. I'm lucky enough to see much of that work firsthand by attending gala days, theatre shows, concerts, festive events and countless other celebrations of the talented community spirit we have here. By way of giving back, the Deputy Provost and I did the Provost Pentathlon, achieving more and raising more than we could ever have hoped for. We were highlighting the work of two incredible charities that support young people in times of need. East Dunbartonshire Association for Mental Health, EDAMH, and Young Lives vs Cancer. One of the highlights of my job is to welcome all the new Scots to Kilmerdunny House for their citizenship ceremony on behalf of all their friends, neighbours and relatives. They work so hard to achieve their British citizenship so they can live, work or study in East Dunbartonshire. It's always a happy day. I also love to share in the celebrations of other local families celebrating 100th birthdays or special wedding anniversaries. It's my privilege to help mark these amazing milestones. In October, I joined the staff and pupils of Woodland View School in Kirkintilloch to officially open our brand new bespoke school, which supports children and young people from nursery to school leavers with additional support needs in new and adaptive ways. What a joyous evening as the young people entertained us in their fantastic new building. There's more good news ahead for our schools as the council has been successful in its bid for funding to build a new Lindsay Academy. This will be a significant building project and will complete the secondary school project started many years ago. We have a wealth of musical talent in our schools, especially at the Douglas Academy Music School and through our instrumental music service. We have lots of young people engaged in community life through the Youth Council, Youth Parliament and Youth Ambassador and Youth Champions. We must continue to encourage them and all our pupils. This year has brought some personal sadness for me and my family with my mum's passing. I want to thank everyone who reached out to us to see how much my mum meant to them over the years. It was very comforting in a difficult time for us. She spent many happy years in Bishopbriggs, Lindsay and Kirkintilloch and still kept in touch with friends and old neighbours when she visited. As I round up this message, I'd like to mention everyone in our communities who will sacrifice family time over the festive season to carry out vital emergency work in the service of others. Know you are appreciated. And finally, to everyone, a very Merry Christmas and a happy, healthy new year. And that was the Provost Gillian Rennick's Christmas message. Public consultation on future of police estate. Police Scotland have announced plans for a consultation on proposals to close a number of properties across the country. The service has published details of 29 police stations and other buildings it says are now surplus to requirements. This will see officers and staff move to other locations. Of these buildings, 3 are already vacant and 14 others have no public access. Deputy Chief Constable Malcolm Graham said, "Our estate needs to be fit for 21st century policing, putting service enhancement, visibility and engagement at the heart of the communities we serve. These are core components of the legitimacy and consent on which policing in Scotland relies. Our presence in communities is not defined by buildings, but by officers and the staff who work there, and we already have introduced technology that enables our officers to remain in local areas, reducing the need for them to return to police stations to deal with paperwork. We are determined to continue to improve our visibility and accessibility, as well as to bring partners together to deliver services in the most efficient and effective way. The buildings in which our officers and staff work need to be safe, functional spaces, and they need to be sustainable and adaptable enough to meet changing public expectations and the changing nature of policing. Consultation and engagement is also expected in a further 16 properties in the near future, with all properties included in that already vacant or plots of land with no buildings. Plans to close a further 14 properties will be brought forward at a later date. Deputy Chief Constable Graham added, Police Scotland inherited a very large and ageing estate, much of which was not fit for purpose, with high maintenance costs and environmental inefficiencies. The locations of many inherited buildings no longer meet the requirements of local communities, and in some cases, the organisation is currently maintaining multiple buildings in the same geographic area, less than 5 miles apart. For the majority of properties, the proposed move will be an average of 4 miles from their current location. Local communities will therefore continue to receive the same high level of service from officers and still from within their local area. Gin created for charity. A special edition of an award-winning Scottish gin is being launched to help support an Eastern Partnershire charity. Veterans charity, Bravehound, is set to benefit from a quarter of all sales of GHQ Spirit's new Bravehound gin. Distilled in Aberdeenshire and available online now, the money raised will go to help ex-service personnel from all three branches of the armed forces. Fiona MacDonald, Bravehound's chief executive, told the Herald, We were really overwhelmed by James' generous offer to create a brand new brandy gin, especially for us. As a charity, we're always trying to generate funds to enable us to continue to provide our life-changing dogs to more veterans in need of help. Thanks to people like James, we were able to train our specialist dogs, which help veterans live full and independent lives. Bravehound provides specialist assistant dogs to veterans suffering from PTSD and other mental health conditions and or physical injuries as a result of military service. GHQ Spirits was introduced to their work through the Armed Forces Covenant Employer Recognition Scheme, which gives awards to organisations that pledge, demonstrate or advocate support to the defence and armed forces community. Founder James McNeill came up with the idea for the new product after meeting Fiona. He told us, Supporting veterans is very close to my heart, as many members and generations of my family have served in all areas of the military and some have been impacted by PTSD. I named my company in tribute to the work of my grandmother, Lena Lowe, who was a dispatch rider for GHQ in Scotland during World War II. Her job was to transport top secret documents between military bases on motorbike, and she inspired several of her 11 children and grandchildren into military service. The production of the gin is one way we can help veterans today, but I have also provided employment opportunities for those who have made great sacrifices for their country. It's the time of year when we buy more alcohol than usual, often to enjoy during the festive period or to give as gifts. I'd encourage people to buy Bravehound gin and support a very worthwhile cause. Government must help. £60 million deficit for our hospices. Hospices in Scotland are budgeting for a collective deficit of £60 million in 2023-24, as the cost of paying their dedicated staff a fair wage increases and statutory funding fails to keep up. Spiralling staffing costs due to NHS pay increases, plus rising running costs, are stretching hospice finances to the brink, with many being forced to consider cutting vital services and draw on limited reserves to meet the shortfall. Scottish hospices spend over 70% of their costs on staff. They recruit from the same pool of staff as the NHS, so must match NHS salaries to ensure they're able to attract and retain staff to deliver their vital services for people at the end of their lives. As matching NHS pay sends a cost soaring, without additional statutory funding, hospices have to rely on fundraising to pay for every penny. In Scotland, hospices provide care and support for 21,000 children and adults a year, and with demand for palliative care predicted to increase by 20% by 2040, the support they need will become increasingly important in the future. They play an integral part in healthcare, supporting people to stay at home and out of hospital, but remain largely funded by charity. On average, 2/3 of hospice income is raised through fundraising. The remaining statutory funding is government funding that's primarily allocated and distributed through local health and social care partnerships. But, with the cost of living crisis meaning local communities may not be able to give so generously, rising costs pose a threat to the sustainability of the sector as statutory funding fails to keep pace. These funding pressures are compounded by huge variation in the levels of local statutory funding that hospitals receive across the country. This leads to inequity for patients and families and creates a postcode lottery in terms of how palliative care is funded. Hospice UK said it is not fair that the public has to foot more of the bill for palliative care services in some areas of Scotland compared to others. Helen Mallow, the charity's policy and advocacy manager for Scotland, said, "Hospices care for some of the most vulnerable people in society, but many are now worrying about the future of their services. Hospices need urgent support to ensure they can continue delivering high quality care for people at the end of life without worrying about how to pay their hard working staff a fair wage. To expect hospices to match this through further fundraising, at a time when their local communities may be struggling themselves, is increasingly untenable. The Scottish Government must commit additional funding for hospices in its upcoming budget to help address the huge £60 million deficit facing the sector and ensure hospice funding is sustainable in the long term so hospices can continue to support the people who need them most. Value our staff too. Hospices across Scotland are facing the immense challenge of meeting rising costs without additional funding. Hospices across Scotland are calling on the government to act. Jackie Smart, Scottish Hospice Leader Group Chairwoman, said, "With staff costs contributing such a significant amount to the collective deficit, it is unreasonable that hospices have to rely on charity to pay their dedicated staff a fair wage while government support funds the increase paid to similar staff in the NHS. Our staff provide compassionate care to people at their most vulnerable time in their lives. They should be valued and treated equally." 900 drug deaths in the first 9 months of 2023. There were an estimated 900 suspected drug deaths in Scotland between January and September this year. The Scottish Government has produced a quarterly report from Police Scotland's management information to provide an indication of current trends and suspected substance-related deaths. In the first 9 months of the year, the number of suspected drug deaths increased by 13%, 103 people, compared to the same period of 2022. Of these, 645, 72%, were males, up 16% from the 556 last year. Figures also suggested that 66% were aged between 35 and 54. There were 255 female suspected deaths, an increase of 6% compared with the 2022 estimate of 241. There were 46 suspected deaths in the under 25 age group, 5% of all estimated lives lost, and an increase of 7% from the previous year. Police Scotland data showed that Glasgow had 231 suspected drug deaths, the highest of any division area, followed by 108 in Lanarkshire and 99 in Edinburgh. There were 1,195 suspected drug deaths over the 12 months up to September, a 10% increase from the same period in 2022. It is estimated that 300 of these deaths occurred during July to September this year, 65 more than during the same period in 2022. Drug and Alcohol Policy Minister Elena Whittam said the Scottish Government's national mission on drugs is focused on supporting those affected by problem substance abuse. She added, "Drug deaths in Scotland are still too high and every life lost is a tragedy. As well as move towards a safe drug consumption facility pilot in Glasgow, we're taking a wide range of measures and the National Mission Funds have now backed more than 300 grassroots projects. As the threat grows from the presence in the drug supply from highly potent synthetic opioids, such as nitazines, which bring increased risk of overdose, we have also developed our surveillance abilities. Our rapid action drug alerts and other measures play a vital part in providing an early warning of emerging drug trends. We're also committed to delivering drug checking facilities to enable us to respond faster to trends."
£100 million journeys. More than 100 million free bus journeys have been made since the Scottish Government introduced free bus travel for under-22s. The milestone was reached on the same day as the Year 1 evaluation of the Young Persons Free Bus Travel Scheme was published. This revealed that over a third, 34% of cardholders were able to access new opportunities. Minister for Transport Fiona Hislop said, "I'm really pleased to see that over 100 million journeys have now been made by under-22s across Scotland, and that the scheme is making a positive difference to young people's lives. This policy is truly transformative. It's reducing travel costs for young people and their families, encouraging a shift towards public transport from private car use, and improving access to leisure, education and employment opportunities."
Crackdown on abuse of staff on our rail network. ScotRail, the Scottish Government, British Transport Police and trade unions have joined forces to tackle abuse experienced by transport staff as part of a £1.6 million crackdown. A campaign was launched on Thursday by Transport Minister Fiona Hislop to coincide with the Christmas party season, which can see a rise in abuse in the rail network. Fiona said, "We want everyone to have a great time this festive season. However, abuse of frontline public transport staff, be it verbal or physical, is completely unacceptable and will not be tolerated. That is why I have no hesitation in supporting this important message, alongside rail unions, BTP and transport providers. Everyone working or using public transport has an absolute right to go about their business without fear of abuse. Passengers can support those efforts by refraining from this type of behaviour and by actively reporting incidents or suspicious behaviour where they see this happening. ScotRail is investing £1.6 million to triple the number of body-worn cameras to tackle antisocial behaviour in Scotland's railway, hire more people to double staff late-night trains in known problem areas, and introduce a team of revenue protection officers." Phil Campbell, Customer Operations Director, said, "All rail staff have the right to go about their day without fear of harassment or abuse. We are investing £1.6 million this year to keep staff and customers safe, using new technology and a more visible staff presence. With this new pledge, we will work together to ensure our staff feel more protected when faced with unacceptable behaviour from a small minority of passengers." The British Transport Police, BTP, which is responsible for policing the train network, has committed to several pledges which aim to enhance the safety of staff and support any victims of abuse. "A dedicated investigator will follow up any report of abuse and will work closely with ScotRail to support railway staff through any incident. Any repeat offenders, or those deemed to pose the greatest threat to staff, will be targeted with prohibitive court orders." BTP Chief Inspector Chris Shields said, "There's absolutely no place for abuse, verbal or physical, directed towards staff in Scotland's rail network, and tackling this type of unacceptable behaviour is a key priority for us. Day and night, we have targeted patrols of high visibility officers on trains and at stations who are there to identify and deter offenders and reassure staff as they travel in the network. Substantial investment has been made to improve an already excellent CCTV coverage of the rail network in Scotland, and we will investigate all incidents of abuse against staff with appropriate action being taken against perpetrators. If you see or experience abuse in Scotland's rail network, you can text us in 61016 or report via the Railway Guardian app. An additional £2 million has already been invested in improved CCTV cameras with intelligent video analytics, which can monitor network operations in real time and support the BTP in any follow-up investigations." Westminster View by Amy Callaghan MP. A lasting peace between Gaza and Israel must be found. Christmas activities are in full swing in Eastern Bartonshire. My calendar is packed with Christmas shows, school fairs and carol concerts. Whether you have faith or not, Christian or otherwise, this is a time of charity, family, love and peace. Yet, peace seems a distant and forlorn hope in the land of Jesus' birth. Instead, a humanitarian crisis is unfolding in Gaza. Half the population of Gaza is starving, 46,000 people are injured and receiving no treatment. The death toll is counted in the tens of thousands. It is soul-destroying to think of orphan children falling asleep to the sound of bombs dropping. A tragic story is unfolding in Israel as well, where countless families grieve the brutal, senseless death and torture of their loved ones. There is no undoing the tragedy that has consumed Israel and Gaza, but further death, destruction and misery can only be avoided by immediate and permanent ceasefire. Because, as we have seen, humanitarian pauses are not enough. Now, I accept that making peace is unpalatable to some Palestinians after the scale of violence and destruction in Gaza. I also understand that some in Israel see a ceasefire as tantamount to surrender, but this willfully ignores the fact that Israel is dancing to Hamas's tune. The horrific terrorist attacks on October the 7th were designed to provoke a response from Israel so brutal that it would undermine any hope of a peaceful two-state solution. The only victory for Israelis and Palestinians is through peacemaking. First, the international community must act as one to bring pressure on both the Israeli government and Hamas to put down arms. That will not happen while the UK abstains on UN votes, and it will not happen as long as the Tories and Labour fail to call for a ceasefire. Once the ceasefire comes, and it eventually will, it must be followed by an international aid to rebuild Gaza, secure borders on both sides, and clear the way for the hard road to a lasting peace. There must then be negotiation and compromise to allow Palestinians and Israelis to live in dignity and peace. This Christmas season, as we celebrate peace and goodwill, the UK government must act decisively to help bring peace in the Middle East. And that was the Westminster View by Amy Callaghan MP. Kirkintilloch and Bishopric's Herald, Wednesday the 20th of December. Let's talk. Please send your letters via email to kirkyherald@gnscotland.co.uk and write letters in the subject field. Please keep letters to a maximum of 300 words. Letters cannot be published without a name and postal address. Also include a daytime phone number if possible. We reserve the right to edit any letter. Leaders of the world beating path to Holyrood for advice. Sir, David Cameron's reproof to the SNP about observing protocols for engaging with foreign governments has elicited a variety of responses from Hamza Yousaf's administration. Perhaps the most bizarre is the claim made by Holyrood by Cabinet Secretary for Net Zero, Mary McCallan. More often than not, world leaders are approaching the Scottish Government asking for our advice on how we have managed to lead the way so successfully on a number of fronts. This raises two questions. First, which world leaders have requested advice from the Yousaf regime? Ms. McCallan did not vouchsafe names. Not yet. Secondly, the issues about whether Scottish excellence they wish to consult. Perhaps they asked about how to conduct a census, or to produce ferries to timetable and cost, or to close the school's attainment gap. Perhaps they looked for guidance on how to see patients in A&E departments in timely fashion, or to reduce the rate of drug deaths, or to introduce a deposit return scheme. Yours, etc. Jill Stevenson, address supplied. COP 70,000 surely can't be good for our climate. Sir, it is staggering to learn that 70,000 plus people went to Dubai for the climate conference. Most of these would surely have pretty much as their own First Minister was, merely one of the many uninvited autograph and selfie hunters always attracted to these events. That is, when he managed to fight off the world leaders clamouring to meet him and seek advice, at least according to one of his large retinue, Mary McCallan. On a more serious and less delusional note, how can this number be tolerated? This conference could have easily, and perhaps more efficiently and effectively, been conducted electronically. I note the final report on COP28 and the amended wording that the original suicidal race to stop and phase out fossil fuels, which will only harm the poorest among us, has been eased. Maybe the FM got his way with that, and they all fell into line. They were equivocal about making any bold statements of moral self-harm. Are they beginning to see sense? Setting a remotely doable and sensible timetable for getting rid of fossil fuels, an event which everyone knows must come, would be an excellent first step. yours, etc., Alexander Mackay, by email. Removal of passes, just the ticket? Sir, I don't think there need be any debate about whether young people should have their free bus passes revoked for unruly behaviour. Of course they should. It's the only sanction which is likely to be applied to those who make the bus journeys uncomfortable for drivers and law-abiding members of the public. Society in general is seeing an increasing lack of respect and decency towards others, so why should taxpayers help to fund a lifestyle where the norms of good behaviour are being ignored? Yours, etc., Bob McDougall, address supplied. Higher taxes will hurt, not help. Sir, it's time the Scottish Government realised their actions on tax and spending are having a detrimental effect on our growth prospects. You need growth in economic terms to drive up profits, thereby people's earnings rise and tax paid follows. More tax paid means more to spend on the NHS, social security, education, etc. Increasing taxes will dampen economic activity, with higher earners deciding to mitigate their tax paid by either working less, which means less economic output, and therefore less tax in the future, or they will use all available other measures, such as investing more in savings schemes, where they receive a tax break such as pensions and or venture capital trusts. The net result is the inevitable decline in the tax bill, as more people decide to move down south for a better personal outcome. We could have chosen a different path, lower the taxes, especially at the top rate, and encourage more of the wealthy to come here, set up businesses, help us drive economic growth. But we don't have any competent economically literate politicians in charge. It's never going to happen, more the pity. Yours, etc., Jeff Lewis, by email. Reader's Charter, Kirkintilloch and Bishopbriggs Herald. This newspaper is built in a tradition of accuracy and fairness, giving you the information you need to understand our world, holding power to account and exposing injustice. Our trusted brand means we are the only place where you can read and participate in honest debates. We are committed to giving a voice to those who struggle to be heard, as well as those whose profession is crafting an argument. Our Reader's Charter spells out our commitment to you. You can read the charter online at Kirkie Herald at gnscotland.co.uk. We need support to weather this storm. Sustained increased investment is vital if Scottish Water is to tackle the impact of climate change is having on the services it provides to customers, its new chief executive has warned. Alex Plant also highlighted that population growth, high inflation and increased public expectations of environmental quality are high on the list of issues the publicly owned organisation is facing. He said, "The combined pressures of climate change and our ageing assets, which were not designed to cope with today's more frequent extreme weather events, mean we are facing some very strong headwinds." Writing in Scottish Water's interim annual report, Alex said extreme weather was the new norm and had played a major part in how the business performed for the first 6 months of this financial year. He told how the hot, dry period of weather in May and June saw average reservoir levels drop to just 72% capacity, 14% below average for that time of year, so that at one point 29 reservoirs were close to running short of supply. This was followed by multiple periods of very heavy rainfall and named storms, which caused sewer flooding and left some treatment works inaccessible. "We know the upward cost pressures will be challenging for the rest of this year and beyond," said Alex. "It's essential we secure the necessary investment for future years to allow us to adapt to climate change and get ahead of the carbon replacing assets that are already past their sell-by date and could soon cost more to repair than replace. Without this, and if we instead kick the can down the road, future service levels will be at risk and future generations will face very significant increases to bills, which would not be fair. At the same time, we know we must ensure that those who are struggling to pay are supported. Around half of all council taxpayers in Scotland are receiving discounts on their water bills, which helps. We must also raise our game and find more innovative approaches to addressing the climate change adaptation challenge. Collaboration is a key part of this effort too. Developing nature-based solutions to mitigate against both flood and drought risk is key, working alongside a range of organisations across the country, including the government, local authorities, regulators and developers. Alex also wants customers to play a bigger role. He added, "It's my hope our customers will become an even greater part of Scottish Water's journey. We need to step up in terms of how we can help everyone appreciate fully the precious resource that water is, and to use only what is needed." Despite challenges, the organisation is on track to deliver a significant capital investment programme for the year, its biggest to date. In the 6 months to September, £400 million of planned investment was delivered. Every day, Scottish Water delivers 1.51 billion litres of fresh drinking water and removes over 1 billion litres of wastewater. It is responsible for over 60,000 miles of pipes and in excess of 2,000 treatment works, which support communities across Scotland, employing more than 4,200 people. Decline must serve as a wake-up call. The 2023 edition of Summary Statistics for Schools in Scotland shows that teacher numbers decreased by 160 full-time equivalents to 54,033 compared to the previous year. Pupil numbers also decreased by 346, but as the changes were relatively small, the pupil-teacher ratio remained at 13 to 2. The decline in teachers has dismayed our largest teaching union, the Educational Institute of Scotland. Andrea Bradley, EIS General Secretary, said, "The figures reveal a second successive year of declining teacher numbers in Scotland's schools. This comes at a time when we need more teachers in our schools rather than fewer to support education recovery for Scotland's young people. We need many more teachers to reduce class sizes to enhance the learning experience for all, to provide better support for even greater number of young people with additional learning needs than last year's data showed, to help overcome the worrying and growing violence changes to our schools and to reduce crippling teacher workload and excessive class contact time in line with existing Scottish Government commitments." The Scottish Government has committed to deploy 3,500 additional teachers during this Parliament. Instead, numbers are falling. Angela added, "This should be a further wake-up call to the Scottish Government and local authorities that graduates are voting with their feet and choosing other careers where terms and conditions are better. Experienced teachers are leaving the profession early for the same reasons." Help Childline answer even more calls. Childline delivered 240 counselling sessions to children in Scotland during the 12 days of Christmas last year. The NSPCC revealed the figure as it prepares to support young people round the clock this festive holiday. Childline counsellors know that while many children will be looking forward to spending time with their loved ones, but for others, Christmas can be a very challenging time. This Friday, December the 22nd, the longest night of the year, landmarks across Scotland, including the Falkirk Wheel and Camera Obscura Edinburgh, will light up green to create a visual reminder that Childline is there for children in their darkest hours. For some, spending an extended amount of time at home with their family can lead to tensions or amplify existing issues. Adeniyi Alaid, Childline Service Head, said, "Sadly, we know Christmas is not always a happy time. Hundreds of young people in Scotland contact Childline every year during the festive break. For some young people, the issues they face all year round can become worse, with societal pressures and expectations being added to existing problems. With schools closed for the holiday, children are also have limited access to wider support networks, which can increase feelings of isolation. Christmas can also place a number of extra pressures on families, from financial to emotional, and for those children who are struggling with a range of issues, our trained counsellors can provide a real lifeline. Just £4 could help a counsellor answer a call. To enable the charity to be there for children, visit www.nspcc.org.uk/Christmas. Christmas was once outlawed. An expert from the National Trust for Scotland has identified hidden meanings behind the traditional Christmas carol, 12 Days of Christmas. According to Dr. Joe Riley, NTS Visitor Services Assistant, the popular song, first published in 1780 and originating in France, was written when Catholicism was discouraged and people were prohibited from publicly practicing their faith in Scotland. The song contains hidden references woven into its verses to provide Catholic teachings where the Presbyterian churches had assumed authority over Scotland in 1560, known as the Scottish Reformation. Joe developed the research as a way of understanding the history and cultural aspects of Christmas celebrations, and it has been used to inform traditional decorations and new authentic festive events. She said, "Christmas in Scotland was prohibited following an Act of Parliament in 1640, making the celebration of Yule illegal. There was no public holiday on Christmas Day, and, apart from a brief period in the 17th century, this lasted until 1958. It's hard to believe that Christmas was outlawed for over 300 years, considering how popular the holiday has now become. It demonstrates the significant religion played in people's lives over different centuries. The banning of Christmas celebrations had a huge influence on the growth and popularity of Hogmanay in Scotland, which became the focus of festivities for Scottish people that we're still recognised for today. Religious symbolism was hidden in most inconspicuous of places, like hymns such as the 12 Days of Christmas and O Come All Ye Faithful. It also featured in festive foods such as mince pies, with the traditional recipe containing 13 ingredients representing each of the apostles. Originally developed as long rectangle slices, mince pies were reduced in size so they can fit in pockets and pass between people celebrating Christmas in secret. Among the hidden meanings in 12 Days of Christmas, the partridge, the only bird that will die to protect its young, represents Christ. Two turtle doves signify the Old and New Testaments, and three French hens are faith, hope, and love.
Don't let your pet down festive treats. The festive season can be a dangerous time for pets, with an abundance of food around the house which may pose a threat to our furry friends. We all know how toxic chocolate is, but it's important pet owners know what other treats their pets should avoid at all costs. Jude McCoy, Bella and Duke Canine Nutritional Advisor, said, "Christmas isn't just a holiday for humans anymore, but our pets too. We need to take an added level of precaution to ensure our pets don't get their paws on anything toxic. It's better to be safe than sorry, so stick to feeding them species-appropriate treats to avoid any unnecessary trips to the vets." Among the top list of foods to avoid are raisins and sultanas, cinnamon's pies, fruitcake or Christmas pudding, chocolate gravy, which is very salty and may contain onions and cooked bones. Alcohol must also be kept out of reach of prying paws.
Wednesday the 20th of December. District News, Churches. Kirkintilloch Church of God. At Regent Hall, Regent Street on Wednesday, there will be a Coffee Corner Christmas special at noon, commencing with lunch, followed by a seasonal programme. This features a quiz, visual presentations, carols and guest speaker Bob Hawthorne from Barhead. For up-to-date and further information on our services, visit our website on www.regenthall.org. All the friends from Regent Hall wish you a happy and peaceful Christmas. The Bible says, "The Virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Lenzie Old Parish Church. Sunday, December the 24th at 4 p.m, Christingle service for families. Sunday, December the 24th at 11 p.m, refreshments served in hall, and then at 11:30 p.m, watch night service in the sanctuary. Sunday, December the 25th, joint Christmas Day service at Lindsay Union at 11 a.m. Milton of Campsie Parish Church. On Wednesday, December the 20th at 7 p.m, we meet for a time to pray in the Eric Liddell. Come when you can, leave when you must. On Thursday, December the 21st, just as the school closes, we join with Canon Jeremy and our friends, our St Paul's friends at the Village Cross for carol singing. Please come. We meet for worship on Sunday, December the 24th at 11 a.m. for a family nativity service, which will include the sacrament of baptism. For the montage, please send us a photo of yourself with your favourite Christmas carol. You can bring your reverse Advent box to the church, along with donations for the food bank. Our watch night services is at 11:15 p.m. and then on Christmas Day we gather at 11 a.m. to celebrate Jesus' birthday. Why not bring along one of your presents? We are sorry there has been a delay in the delivery of our magazine, The Messenger, to some homes in the village. Hopefully, by now, everyone will have received one. We send greetings of comfort and joy to everyone this Christmas. Springfield Cambridge Church. Morning worship on Sunday, December the 24th, will be conducted by Reverend Ian Taylor, assisted by our Assistant Minister, Mrs. Julie Harty, in the sanctuary at 11 a.m. Tea and coffee will be served in the Cameron Hall after morning worship. Come along and enjoy the fellowship. No collection is taken during the service, so donations can be made by placing them in the offering plates in the Hall of Fellowship as you enter or leave the building. Morning worship has also been live streamed on the Springfield Cambridge Church YouTube channel. A link to this can be found on the Springfield Cambridge Church website, www.springfieldcambridge.org.uk, and Facebook page, where up-to-date information about events and church organisations can also be found. There will also be a Christmas Eve service at 7:30 p.m, which will not be live streamed. This will be preceded by a carol singing from 7:10 p.m, and tea and coffee will be served afterwards, concluding about 8:10 p.m. A retiring collection will be held in aid of the Lodging House Mission. On Christmas Day, a service will be available at 10:30 a.m. via our YouTube channel only. There will be a vestry hour on Wednesday, December the 20th, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for anyone who would like to speak with the minister. There will be a short weekly service of worship in the Springfield Chapel on Wednesday, December the 20th, from 11:10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m, followed by tea and coffee in the Hall of Fellowship. Following this, the vestry hour and midweek service will resume on January the 10th. Colston Well Park Church. Celebrate Christmas at Colston Well Park Church this Sunday and join us for this special celebration at 11 a.m. Our watch night service will be at 11 p.m. and both services will be led by Reverend Malcolm Cuthbertson. The art club will be closed over the festive season and restarts in the new year. On Wednesday, the Colston Tea Break, our community drop-in, continues from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Feel free to pop in for good food, good chat, and of course, good company. Especially at this time, let us not forget the food bank and its essential work within our community. It is open every Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. A special thanks to all who ably assist and to those who continually donate foodstuffs. St. Mary's Parish Church. The service on Sunday, December the 24th, Christmas Eve, will begin at 11 a.m. as usual and be taken by the Reverend Dr. Ruth Morrison. This will be an all-age service with everyone in the church. A blue service will take place on Wednesday, December the 20th, beginning at 7:30 p.m. At 11:30 p.m, we will hold our annual watch night service, which will be a joint service with St. David's Memorial Park Church. On December the 20th, Wednesday welcome will take place when tea and coffee will be available. Then, at 10:30 a.m, the nursery will come across to the church to perform their nativity play. Everyone is welcome. Tea, coffee and non-alcoholic wine will be available. The last of the Advent, Still and Slow, will take place on Thursday, December the 21st, beginning at 7:30 p.m. in the Session House. Lindsay Union Parish Church. Christmas services and events. Sunday, December the 24th, Christmas Eve. 11 a.m. Christmas service, 6:30 p.m. Christmas Eve family service with Peace Light. 11:30 p.m. joint watch night service at Lindsay Old, Monday, December the 25th. Christmas Day, 11 a.m. joint service at Lindsay Union. The Meeting Place Coffee Shop and Coffee Pot are closed for the Christmas holiday. We wish all our customers a happy Christmas and a peaceful new year, and look forward to welcoming you again on Wednesday, January the 10th at 10 a.m. until noon in the New Hall. St. James Church, Hilton Road, Bishop Briggs, Rector Reverend Canon Paul Watson, 0141 230 4080. There is a communion service on Thursday, December the 21st at 11 a.m. in the chapel. On Christmas Eve, there is a Christingle service at 4 p.m, to which families are particularly welcome to come along and take part. At 11:15 p.m. that evening, there is a watch night service of communion and carols. You are very welcome to come and join us at any of these services and experience the true meaning of Christmas. There are also other virtual services and groups. For up-to-date and further information, refer to our social media, Facebook, St. James the Less Bishop Briggs, website www.stjamesbishopbriggs.org.uk. Home Church, Scotland, Lammermoor Road, Kirkintilloch, G66 2AB. Home Church Kirkintilloch, Home Church East End, Carmyle, G32 8DP, and online, a church for all ages. Suddenly, an angel appeared to some shepherds on a hillside and said, "Don't be afraid, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to people. The Saviour, the Messiah, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." Luke chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Sunday, December the 24th, 10 a.m. Prayer meeting including nativity play, followed by refreshments. A warm welcome awaits you. Home Church Carmyle. See website for services over Christmas. Fridays, craft and coffee, 10 a.m. to noon, open to the community. Youth Fellowship, 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m, a varied programme. Home radio available every day. New Year's Eve Cayley, Sunday, December the 31st at 8 p.m. See Facebook, Instagram and Home Church website for the latest information for Carmyle and Kirkintilloch. Kenmuir Parish Church. We will have three services on Christmas Eve. The morning service begins at 11 a.m. and will take place in the form of a traditional 9 lessons and 9 carols service, led this year by the elders. At 6 p.m. we hold our popular children's pyjama service. All children, young and old, are welcome. This will be led by the Reverend Susan Anderson. Finally, at 11:15 p.m. we will hold our watch night service led by our assistant minister, Reverend Kay Gardner. Mince pies, shortbread, tea and coffee will be available in the hall from 10:30 p.m. onwards. You're welcome to join us both in church and on our YouTube channel. The service on YouTube can be watched live as it is streamed or later at a time that suits you. You can find our channel by simply searching for Kenmuir Bishop Briggs on YouTube. That's K-E-N-M-U-R-E Bishop Briggs on YouTube. Teas and coffees at a time of fellowship follows the end of the church service. Details of all of our groups that are currently running may be found on the website kenmuir-church.co.uk. That's kenmuir-church.co.uk. To find us on Facebook, just search for Kenmuir Parish Church. If you would like to join our WhatsApp group or receive the Bible studies from ABC, then email us at kenmuirchurch@icloud.com. St. David's Memorial Park Church. This Christmas, there is an opportunity to connect with the real meaning of the Christmas story, away from all the preparations of hosting family dinners, packed shops, and all the shows and concerts we go to. St. David's Memorial Park Church are holding a vigil from December the 22nd to 23rd, for 24 hours. Throughout the day, there will be a specific focus on prayer and time for silent reflection and for people to pray as they need to, with one another or alone. The event begins at 2 p.m. on the Friday with a short service and closes in the same way on the Saturday and is open to all to drop in as many times as they wish. Cadder Parish Church. Christmas Eve, Sunday, December the 24th, 10:30 a.m, lessons and carols. 4 p.m, Christingle. 11:30 p.m, watch night service. Wednesday the 20th of December, District News, General. Society of Antiquaries. On December the 7th, the Antiquaries hosted a talk by Al Fleming and Linda McIntosh on the German air crash at Lennoxtown, May the 7th, 1941. The talk was divided into two parts. Al delivered the first part, which dealt in detail with the background to the incident,
the circumstances of the crash and the fate of the crew. The aircraft, a Junkers Ju-88 dive bomber, had been taking part in a large raid on Clydeside. Returning from the raid, it was shot down by a Bolton Paul Defiant night fighter and crashed in Blairskaith Muir between Lennoxtown and Balmore. Two of the crew had parachuted out and were captured next morning on the Balmore golf course. They spent the rest of the war as POWs and were sent to camps in Canada. The other two crew members, the pilot and observer, were killed and were buried in Lennoxtown's Campsie Cemetery. One was subsequently reburied in the German military cemetery at Cannock Chase, Staffordshire. The grave of the other airman, observer Hopton Jared Hansman, can still be seen and has been kept in good condition by the people of Lennoxtown. After the war, Jared's widow, Gielsa, made several visits to Lennoxtown to see his grave. Linda told the story of her family's involvement. Her grandfather, Jack, was a member of the Home Guard and was part of a team sent up to investigate the crash site on May the 7th. In later years, Linda's mother renewed contact with Gisela, now, by now very old and living in Hamburg. She and Linda made a visit to Germany to see Gielsa and kept in contact until Gielsa's death in 2014. The talk attracted her highest attendance since COVID and was very well received. In his vote of thanks, Antiquities Vice President David Graham was able to corroborate some of Al's information and the nature of the bomb raids from which from his boyhood memories. More gifts for the food bank. As in the past, local residents have come up trumps with their kind-hearted donations. Families of Clayton's Early Years Centre once again have generously donated 102.35 kilograms of food and toiletries to East Dubartonshire Food Bank. A big thank you goes to everyone for thinking of others less fortunate at this time of year. All the staff at Clayton's Nursery would like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year. Clayton's Early Years Centre is based in Bishopriggs. Call 0141 955 2291. Email office at claydons.e-dumbarton.sch.uk. To find out more, visit our website www.claydons.e-dumbarton.sch.uk. Heart of the Matter, Remembering Past Christmases by Dr. Frank Dunn. The Royal College of Physicians and Surgeons of Glasgow was founded in 1599 by Master Peter Lowe, and he is buried with the precincts of Glasgow Cathedral. Each year, there is a Founders' Day service on the first Sunday in December, with a wreath laid by the college president. The current minister of the cathedral is the Reverend Mark Johnson, formerly of St Mary's in Kirkintilloch. He is well known in these parts and is a good friend. The sermon this year was delivered by the Reverend Roger Sturrock. He was distinguished rheumatologist in the Royal Infirmary and, on retiring, joined the ministry of the Church of Scotland. His theme was the importance of light. He began by mentioning how, as a young student, he would carry a pen torch for examination of the eyes, the throat, and to see if swellings were translucent. Thereafter, he spoke of the importance of good light during operations and how the surgeon would become vexed if an inexperienced junior brought to light. He then tied this in very effectively with the importance of light in the Christian faith. We see this in the Paschal candle at Easter and in the bright star which led the kings to the stable at Bethlehem. It was an excellent and appropriate sermon from a physician and minister. Each year my mind drifts back to my childhood days living in the grounds of Stobhill Hospital. Early on Christmas morning, we were awakened by the sound of Christmas carols from the nurses' choir, all with their capes on and holding candles. More often than not, the snow would be falling. It was such a vivid and memorable Christmas scene. As a young doctor in the Royal Infirmary and a consultant in Stobhill, I took part in the Christmas show, which was put on by the doctors and the staff for the patients. It was a hoot and greatly appreciated by all. On Christmas Day, the patients all sat round a table in the ward, pulling crackers and having whatever libation took their fancy. This was the basis for the introduction of a small alcohol-based refreshment in our wards in Stobhill, if desired, on a Friday and Saturday evening. The patients loved this, never abused it, and all slept more soundly thereafter. May I take this opportunity of wishing all our faithful readers a very peaceful and enjoyable Christmas and a fulfilling 2024. James really is a big softie. James is a beautiful older black cat who is ready to find his forever home. He is currently being cared for by the Scottish SPCA, Edinburgh and Lothian's Animal Rescue and Rehoming Centre. James is very wary and cautious around people. It took him a long time to come around to staff and feel comfortable in being handled, but now he is extremely affectionate. He loves a cuddle, but can be a little unsure of people he doesn't know. He responds to a confident human as, if you flinch away from a hiss, he will proceed to pretend to swipe you without cause. James needs an adult-only home with no other cats. Visit www.scottishspca.org/rehome-a-pet/13581-James. Orbiston Neighbourhood Centre. Orbiston Neighbourhood Centre is a community-based organisation operating for the benefit of people living in the Orbiston and Bellshill area of North Lanarkshire. Theo's Cafe Christmas Lunch is on Wednesday, December the 20th. Call in to Theo's Cafe between 9:30am or 3pm on Monday and Friday. Befriend Bellshill are seeking new volunteers to support older adults living in Bellshill and Coatbridge. The service provides one-to-one group and cell phone support for older adults who are lonely or isolated. PVG and induction training is provided. Expenses are reimbursed. Email your contact details to Tammy and Elaine at befriend@oncbellshill.org or telephone 01698 573251 during office hours. That's 01698 573251.
Public notices. Planning notices. Eastern Bartonshire Council public notices. Civic Government (brackets) Scotland Act 1982. Application for renewal of late hours catering licence. The undernoted has applied for the grant of a late hours catering licence in terms of the above Act. Name and address of applicant. Farshid B. Harry, 88 Killermont View, Glasgow, G200TZ. Day-to-day manager. Farshid B. Harry, 88 Killermont View, Glasgow, G200TZ. Premises. Piccolo, 68 Townhead, Kirkintilloch, G66 1NZ. Extension of hours. Sunday to Thursday, 11pm until midnight. Friday and Saturday, 11pm until 2am. Any objections or representations in terms of paragraph 3 brackets 1 of Schedule 1 of the Act should be logged with the undernoted no later than 28 days from the publication date of the newspaper in which this advertisement appears. Deputy Chief Executive, Education, People and Business, Eastern Bartonshire Council, 12 Strathkelvin Place, Kirkintilloch, G66 1TJ. Slaughter of Animals (brackets) Scotland Act 1980. Application for the grant of the renewal of a licence to use premises as a knacker's yard from the 1st of January 2024 to the 31st of December 2024. The undernoted has applied for the grant of the renewal of a licence to use the premises as a knacker's yard in terms of Section 6 of the above Act. Name and address of applicants. Mr. Henry Johnson and Mr. Robert Johnson, TA Grays Hill Limited, Mullins Road, Cumbernauld. G68 9BA. Address of premises: Grays Hill Limited, Mullins Road, Cumbernauld, G68 9BA. Type of license: the use of premises as a knacker's yard. Any objections in terms of Section 6, Brackets 3 of the Act should be logged with the undernoted no later than the 30th of December 2023. Clive Lewis, Community Protection Manager, Eastern Bartonshire Council, 45 South Bank Drive, Kirkintilloch, G66 1XR, www.eastonbarton.gov.uk. Civic Government Brackets Scotland Act 1982, application for renewal of second-hand vehicle dealer license. The undernoted has applied for the renewal of a second-hand vehicle dealer license in terms of the above Act. Name and address of applicant: Stephen Payne, 36 Craig Barrett Road, Mulgay, G62 7RA. Day-to-day manager: Stephen Payne, 36 Craig Barnett Road, Mulgay, G62 7RA. Premises: Mulgay Car Sales, Unit 4C, Canal Street, Kirkintilloch, G66 1QW. Any objections or representations in terms of paragraph 3, brackets 1 of Schedule 1 of the Act should be logged with the undernoted no later than 28 days from the publication date of the newspaper in which this advertisement appears. Deputy Chief Executive, Education, People and Business, Eastern Bartonshire Council, 12 Strathkelvin Place, Kirkintilloch, G66 1TJ. Planning applications. Format: application number followed by address slash location followed by proposal followed by type of advert followed by period of reps. TP/ED/23/0661. Site at 93 Cowgate, Kirkintilloch, Eastern Bartonshire. Erection of hot food takeaway. Regulation 20, 21 days. TP/ED/23/0661. Site at 93 Cowgate, Kirkintilloch, Eastern Bartonshire. Erection of hot food takeaway. Section 65, affecting CA, 21 days. If you are unable to view the plans on the Council's website, then please contact the Planning Duty Officer to arrange a suitable time to view the plans in our offices. Written comments may be made within the above period to the Council through the Council's website or to the above address. Any representations will be treated as public documents and made available for inspection by interested parties, and may also be published on the Council's website. Dash for Charity, an article written by Brian Yule and read by me, Corey. The rain did not dampen the festive spirit as Walk Run Cycle Eastern Bartonshire, WRCED, held its annual Santa Dash. For a second year running, participants chose to run or walk the 3-mile route to raise money for the Eastern Bartonshire Food Bank. The event started at Kirkintilloch Marina as the route took in Christine's Way, passing the WRCED community bench and onto Boghead Wood in Lindsay, where Santa handed out selection packs to all attendees. A selection of sweet treats were donated by Tesco, Sainsbury's and Asda Royston, while Tunnocks also provided some of their famous products. WRCED founder Lorna Thompson said, "I wanted to say thank you to all the attendees for giving up their time on Saturday for a great cause. We had lots of fun doing it and it was a great start to the festive season." Elspeth, one of WRCED's Paths for All volunteers, added, "I had a great time helping out at our Santa Dash and raising money for the food bank. Roll on next year." There is still time to purchase a WRCED 2024 slimline calendar costing £8 from Create ED on Main Street, Kirkintilloch, or emailing wrced2020@gmail.com. Lorna said, "The calendar contains gorgeous photographs from across Eastern Bartonshire, which was taken by WRCED members. All profit will go back into the group in order to help us deliver more events. Our 2023 event schedule was jam-packed with local walks, days away, hills, cycles, running, child-friendly, and so much more. We hope that going forward, we will be able to deliver the same high-quality events in 2024. If you would like to join us, then please find the Walk, Run, Cycle Eastern Bartonshire group on Facebook, or alternatively, email wrced2020@gmail.com. Also, if you wish to volunteer with us, either to host an event or simply to help in other ways, maybe you have a skill that would be useful to us, then please do not hesitate to get in touch. The WRCED administrators and committee would like to wish all its members and readers of the Herald a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year." That article was written by Brian Yule and read by me, Corey. Pitchpur looks to progress at Tigers in 2024 season. An article written by Phil Lanning and read by me, Corey. Ace Pitchpur has resigned with Glasgow Tigers for the 2024 season and is aiming for more progress after a solid debut year. The 17-year-old enjoyed an excellent campaign as he helped the Ashfield club to the league title, just as his dad Theo did in 2011. However, Edinburgh-born Pitchpur knows it will be even tougher in the year ahead as he looks to add more consistency to his racing. He said, "I think it surprised quite a few people that I did okay last season. A lot of people wrote me off and said I would struggle. It was hard at times, but I think a lot of that was down to fatigue or getting too many injuries. Going up into the championship is a big deal at a young age, but I feel overall I coped okay. It was great to win the league in my debut year, but now I want another massive season as we go to defend it. I don't make any mad targets. I think that would put far too much pressure on myself. I think it's important just to focus on every race as it comes. I want to be more consistent. I hope the experience of a full season on all the tracks will help me find more solid scoring." Team boss Cammy Brown believes it was a no-brainer to keep Pitchpur in the side, becoming the third signing after Lee Complin and Leo Flint. He said, "There's little doubt that Ace has so much potential. I felt he had a really impressive first season. Ace is learning with every race, but with a year of experience under the belt, I would like to think he will progress nicely going forward." Pitchpur's signing of the Tigers is in association with the Country Yard Pantry Enterprise. www.countryyardpantry.org.uk/about-us. Based in Postle Park, this is an innovative food project which aims to tackle the harmful effects of poverty by creating well-paid, secure jobs in hospitality and catering. In doing so, it distributes good quality food at low cost, whilst reducing waste and minimising the impact on the environment. Allied Vehicles and Glasgow Tigers continue to support this charity and have made a donation from the marketing budget. To make a donation, visit www.justgiving.com/page/Glasgow-Tigers-Speed-Way-1701692740435. That number at the end is 1701-6927-40435. That article was written by Phil Lanning, and it was read by me, Corey. Ashfield showed great character in win over Peters Hill. This article is unattributed, but it is being read by me, Corey. Ashfield boss Michael Oliver was delighted with the great character and energy levels showed by his side as they returned to action for the first time in a month with a 4-3 win over WOS First Division leaders Peters Hill. Bobby Barr opened the scoring for the hosts after 2 minutes, but Peters Hill equalised on 10 minutes through PJ McGriff, and he then gave them the lead on 31 minutes. 3 minutes later, Stephen Slevin drew Ashfield level as the sides went in all square at the break. On 53 minutes, Jamie Adam put the visitors back in front. However, Greg Burns would tie things up again on 73 minutes before Barr grabbed Ashfield's winner 7 minutes from time. Oliver told the club's YouTube channel, "I think the boys showed great character from being 2-1 down and 3-2 down to be able to come back and win the game. It has been frustrating the last few weeks having not been playing. We haven't played for a month. So to be able to show those energy levels was a credit to the players. It is another massive result for us. We've done the double over Peters Hill this season, who came into the game at top of the league. So I'm delighted and delighted for the boys. The boys put in a massive shift and on the balance of play, I don't think anyone can say we haven't deserved it. Kirkintilloch, Rob Roy remain 3 points above the relegation zone in the Premier Division as they lost 2-1 at home to Pollock. Caledonian Locomotives were knocked out of the Scottish Junior Cup in the fourth round as they lost 3-2 away to Premier Division side Hurlford United. In the second division, there was a heavy defeat from Glasgow Perthshire, as they lost 7-3 to league leaders Ardrossan Winton Rovers. West Park United overcame Kilo Rovers in the battle of the bottom two in the third division, with a 3-0 away win being their first league victory since August. Rossville continued their push for the promotion place in the fourth division with a 3-1 win at home to Royal Albert. Glasgow City secured a thumping 6-0 victory at home to Partick Thistle in the SWPL1. Lauren Davidson and Kenzie Weir both grabbed doubles, while Ailey Gambon and Lisa Forrest were also on the score sheet. That article was unattributed, but it was read by me, Corey.
That concludes this week's edition of the Kirkintilloch Herald podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at Tune Review and tell your friends about our service.